Welcome to the OCR A-Level Psychology Podcast. Find out more at www.ocr.org.uk.
Okay, well, the study I'm going to talk about was actually part of my PhD way, way back when I was studying at the University of Exeter back in 1987. And I did a whole range of studies during my PhD studies, and obviously this is just one, the study I'm going to concentrate on today is just one part of a whole range of different things I did. And I had a very deliberate thing I wanted to do, which was to use lots of different methods to look into the area, particularly of adolescent gambling. But I also rounded off my PhD by doing a couple of experimental studies, and I say that the one I'm going to talk to you about today is probably the most infamous one or most famous one I've done. Where I basically looked at gamblers' thought processes while they were actually playing a machine. I'll talk more about how I did that and what I found a bit later on. Within sort of 5 or 6 years of working in this area, it became clear to me that there are lots of different factors that kind of impinge on how and why people gamble and how and why people develop problems with gambling. And myself and Jonathan Park, we've written a lot about what we call the global model of gambling behaviour. And we basically, in a very simplistic way, think that all types of gambling, and in fact lots of addictive behaviours you could say about this, falls down to three basic sets of characteristics. We've got the individual characteristics, the situational characteristics, and structural characteristics. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is basically talk about this one particular study. And obviously I'm going to try and put it into perspective of the kind of global model of gambling that I've been talking about. The method I used was, I suppose you'd describe it as a quasi-experimental method. And for me, the great joy I had in doing this is that I was allowed to actually use an arcade in Exeter to do my experiment. I had, for the first time, had what I would consider an ecologically valid experiment. Most experiments that had ever been done before had been done in a lab situation. Now, the objective was to stay on the machine for at least 60 plays. Now, I was actually being funded by the Economic and Social Research Council, and they actually gave us, in my research grant, money that people could gamble with. We actually had a budget for people to gamble on the slot machines, and we gave all of our participants at the start £3 to play on the slot machine. And the objective for them was to try and break even. Okay, they had to put the £3 in and try and win the £3 back. That meant staying on the machine for 60 gambles. If they reached that 60, okay, they then, if they wanted, if they got any money at that point, they could walk away, keep the winnings, or they could play on. It was up to them. Far more interesting from my perspective, okay, was, if you like, these cognitive variables. I did a complete content analysis of the transcripts, and this was no small matter, I can tell you. This is probably, out of all the things I did in my PhD, this is probably the thing that took me the single longest time to do. I came up with 31 different categories of verbalization that people had while they were playing fruit machines. Four of those I classed as irrational types of verbalization. The other 27 I said were actually fairly rational types of verbalization. And obviously the hypothesis I had was actually confirmed, because regular gamblers did produce significantly more of these irrational verbalizations when compared to non-regular gamblers. One of the things I would argue is that the psychology of gambling is different from every single form of gambling. The psychology of playing the lottery is very, very different from the psychology of playing fruit machines, which is very different from the psychology of horse racing. And in fact, what we found in our research is that gamblers know they're going to lose every penny in the long run. Their whole objective is to stay on the machine as long as possible using the least amount of money. And in fact, because of some of the work I was doing on video game players at the time in the same arcades, this is exactly the philosophy they use. They went in, and they were, you know, playing, I don't know, Galaxian or whatever game was out at the time. They'd put their 20 pence in and see how long they can make that 20 pence last. Effectively, that's what fruit machine players were doing as well. Now, a good day for a fruit machine player is coming in with £10 and making that £10 last hours. A bad day for a fruit machine is they come in with £10 and it's gone in 10 minutes. Okay, so for them, it was all about staying, they were playing with money rather than for it. And then the final thing I'd say, in terms of evaluation of this study, what are some of the good and bad things about it? Well, for the first time, I'd like to argue that I used both quantitative and qualitative dependent variables. That really hadn't been done in this situation before. I would also argue that for the first time, as far as I know, it's the first time anything had ever been done in a real amusement arcade setting, so I thought the ecological validity was very high. And then we've got the question of whether it's actually generalizable to other forms of gambling. And in fact, there's been other people now that have done this type of methodology on things like virtual roulette and other things, and they've actually found exactly the same thing. So I actually do think there is some applicability to this. And I will leave it there. Thank you very much. And I think we're going to take a few questions now, if people want to do that. So thank you.